Good morning, everybody. Welcome. We are so glad that you guys are here. Those from the 929 got some extra rest, really refreshed this morning. The 1111, 505, you guys not loving life quite as much this morning. It was a big weekend. Yesterday, some considered the biggest sports day in recent history. We had an earthquake here in Michigan. We had commencement at U of M. Do we have any very recent graduates here today? All right, all right. Congratulations. You'll recognize them as the ones that half of their face is sunburned from being in the big house and not realizing that in May you needed sunscreen. Well, as Greg said, we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit called With Strength. If you are joining us from one of the other services, you missed the part one, but Jay last week shared with us this truth. The Holy Spirit is God dwelling in us, conforming us into his likeness. And if you missed it, I'd love to encourage you to go back. It was a great talk. Listen to it either online or on the podcast. It really sets up the whole series quite well. Today, I'm going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The greatest of those gifts is actually right there, that we have the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us, but there's a lot more that I want to dive into that he has given us as well. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump into that. God, thanks for today. Thanks that you brought each of the folks here today. And Lord, I pray that as we dive into this, dive into gifts, Lord, that you would just speak, that you would use me. That I'd be able to speak with your very words. God, I pray for our recent grads, God. It's so exciting that they've persevered and made it through their undergraduate or their graduate, Lord. I pray that you just bless each one of them for what they have next coming up in life, God. Just please make your spirit present and known here today as we share. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the gifts of the Spirit, or spiritual gifts, as they're often called, are special abilities that are given by the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes. And we're going to look at a couple different passages that talk about those gifts, and they're kind of the go-to passages on those. If you have your Bibles with you, or a Bible app, you can feel free to pull that out. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12. If you don't own a Bible, we have free ones available at the Info Center. We'd love for you to grab one of those. If you wanted to get up and grab one right now, I would not be offended. Love for you to have the Word of God. You can grab it after the service as well. The verses will be up on the screen as well. But in Paul's letter, this is a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth, and they have some issues. Paul addresses a number of issues throughout his letter to them, and the section that we're going to look at is specifically related to spiritual gifts. So I'm going to start in verse 4 of chapter 12. If I can find it, it's on the screen. Maybe I'll just do that. All right. I have the little, anyway. One-hand Bible reading. I haven't mastered it yet. There are different kinds of spiritual gift, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. See, the Corinthian church, they'd elevated certain gifts over others, and Paul is addressing them and saying, no, that each of you is a gift. These are some of the gifts that God has given. He talks again to the church in Ephesus when he writes about gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. Says he's given For however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The first thing that I want to point out that you can see kind of clearly in both these passages is that the Holy Spirit has given you gifts. If you look at just specifically a few of the passages, I've highlighted a spiritual gift is given to each of us. He has given each one of us a spiritual gift. God has given each of you a gift. If you're here today and you are wrestling with the idea of having a gift, if you're a Christian, you think, God has not given me a gift, you are wrong. I don't know how else to tell you. We read about some of the gifts in that, we read about, sorry, those are homophones, and when they're in your notes, it's good to know which one it is. We read about some of the gifts in the passages we just looked about. I want to kind of throw up a list up here. Administration, apostleship, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, interpretation of tongues, knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, pastors / shepherd, prophecy, serving and ministering, teaching, tongues, and wisdom. Some people would argue that this list is incomplete. Some people would argue that there are things up there that shouldn't be up there. If you want to have a talk about that, I'm willing to talk to you about it. The thing is that we haven't really drawn a line in the sand about this. We haven't said, these are the gifts, these are not the gifts. These are some that we see in there. But the main point is that the Holy Spirit has given these gifts. And he gives some instruction on how to use some of the gifts. And I'll get to some of that in just a minute. But you have been gifted in one or more of these. Do you know what your gift is? Or maybe even your top two or three. It doesn't just give one. We each have kind of a gift matrix that works together. Do you know what your gifts are? And maybe looking at the list, you're like, yeah, absolutely. I know that one for sure. I want to share with you, if you don't know, the single best way that I know to determine what your gifts are, and that is to serve. I know that there are tests out there that you can take. Those are okay. If you just graduated from college, you're probably not interested in taking another test for a little while. But I think the best way to find out the way that God has gifted you is to jump in and serve somewhere here in the church. I'm not saying you have to make a big commitment. If you want to, that's great. Put it on your comment card. We can schedule you for whatever you want. But if you just want to try some things out, if you just want to serve and try to figure out this gift that the Spirit has given you, you can do that. Just show up at the info center a little bit early on a Sunday morning and say, What holes do you have? Where can I serve? And they'll put you in. And maybe you'll hate it. Maybe you'll find out that you look ridiculous in a parking vest. Some people make it look good. It's not everybody's gift. That's not one of the spiritual gifts. We do have background checks for New Life Kids, but if that's somewhere that you think, like, that'd be something I'd want to try out, I encourage you to do that. Start that process. They would love to have you. If your gifts are geared more towards helping lead a small group or a home group, start making the group leader successful. Don't, you know, stage a coup and, you know, take over the group. But use your gifts to make that leader successful. And if you're not in a small group or a home group, get in one. Make that leader successful. The thing that I want to just emphasize is jump in somewhere. Get into the game. If you're a student here that just graduated and this is your last Sunday ever at New Life, the next church that you find yourself at, jump in there. If you're just visiting and you're not involved in your home church, jump in, serve, use and figure out what your gifts are. And this isn't just a shameless plug to fill holes here at the church. I I think it is the way that you can find it, because when you find the thing that you are gifted in, you're usually refreshed and re-energized by doing it. You could do it all day because you're doing it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. One thing I've noticed is that the people around you that don't have that gift think that you're crazy because you could do it all day. People think that I'm crazy. I started roadieing here at New Life Church back in the year 2000 when I was 8. That's not true. No, I've been serving in that area for 15 years, and now I only get to do it a few times a year, which is good because my body is breaking down and I can't carry heavy things like I used to. But I jumped in, and I could do it all day. I'm refreshed and re-energized, and the people around me think that I'm crazy because of that. If there's a place that stirs your heart, then that's a great place to jump in. If you are passionate about kids, go there. If you're passionate about people feeling welcome when they come to church, try the greeting or the refreshments or the parking team. If it's small group stuff, just jump in there. Ask your leader how I can serve to make you more successful. The Bible isn't specific exactly with what you have to do with your gifts. It isn't if you have this gift, this is the role that you have to serve. Going back to our 1 Corinthians passage, it says there are different kinds of spiritual gift. We covered that. But the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God has given a variety of gifts, and he's given them to be used in a variety of different ways. He does give some instructions. I talked about that. And here are some from Romans chapter 12. These are some of the most clear instructions that we have on how to use our gifts. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. They're not super complicated instructions. It's not the, this is your gift, you have to serve in this capacity in this way. I love the instruction for those who are gifted in encouragement. Be encouraging. It's pretty simple, you know. Just do it, yeah, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. Be encouraging. If you want to encourage me, be encouraging to me, you know. The gifts can be used in many different ways. I get to see this, how this plays out in my home a lot. One of the roles that I play is parent, and my wife also plays that same role. And we're gifted differently. She has more of a shepherd bent. I can do that. I like I said, I'm a servant. I like to fix things. And so my kids generally come to me mostly if something runs out of batteries. Dad, can you fix this? Dad, I ripped this off of here. Can you super glue this? And that's I love doing that. You know, Sarah will draw the kids out. She'll ask them how they're doing, how they're feeling, why they're upset. And I just want to fix it. And that's going to be a problem at someday, you know, but right now I'm the guy that adds batteries. Someday they'll figure out how to put their own batteries in, and then I'm not sure what they're going to do with me. But that's just, it's a cool example of how even in my home, I get to see the beauty of different giftings doing the same job. I want to point out just a couple dangers of focusing on spiritual gifts. And the first one is what I read an article by Timothy Keller. He calls it a gift cop-out. And I like this quote, the way he puts it. It says, every single one of the gifts is also a task or assignment given to all Christians. Not all are evangelists, but everyone is a witness. Not all are deacons or deaconesses, but all are to serve. Gift cop-out is saying, since I'm not gifted at that, I don't have to do that at all. I feel like that's a real danger. I feel like I fall into that, you know. I know some gifted evangelists, and it looks a lot better when they are doing evangelism than when I try to do it, but I'm still to do it. The other danger that I see is gift pride or insecurity. It's when you're either prideful of the gift you do have or insecure that you don't have another gift. That's one of the things that Paul is addressing to the church in Corinth. They wanted gifts they didn't have, or they elevated gifts over others. And I've done that myself. I've struggled from gift envy, I know, and I still do. I was trying to think of an example, and I actually had one this past week. I went online. I told you you didn't have to take a test. I went online this week to check out a gifts test, filled it out, and at the end of it, I read it, and I was like, oh, I definitely skewed that test. I read the questions. I knew kind of what they were getting at, and so I answered them the way that I wanted to be. And it turned out that I was, based upon those scores, I'm super administrative, and I'm not. I have some gifting in administration, but when I'm surrounded by people who God has actually gifted in administration, I see that he has gifted them for that, and they do it so well that it'd be a shame for me to try to do that, and it'd be a shame for me to miss out on the gifts that God has given me. The tendency is to focus on yourself. What gift do I have? And that makes sense if you think that your gifts are for you, if you want to know what gifts will serve you the greatest. But that isn't why you've been given gifts. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts to be used to build up his church. That's there in the 1 Corinthians and the Ephesians 4 passages, and 1 Peter as well. So we can help each other. We will strengthen the whole church, build up the church, serve one another. It's pretty clear. And the Ephesians passage also talks about equipping. If you have a gift, we need you to use your gift, not just using it, but using it to equip others. If you have that evangelistic gift, if you have that shepherding gift, will you use it to help build up the church? Will you use it to train other people? In my preparation and my study, I discovered there were people have a lot of different ways that they like to group the gifts and think about them as a way of kind of the role that they serve the church. I found this one, which looks like the periodic table, which is great if you like the periodic table. Some of you having a flashback. This is from the website, thespiritualgiftstest.com, and if you're going to do one, then it's pretty solid. You can manipulate it easily, as I found. But the blue on the left are the gifts of serving. The green are foundation gifts. The orange are revelatory gifts that God used to guide the church. And the red on the right-hand side are manifestation and miraculous gifts. You can go there if you want and check them out and see great descriptions on all of them. I don't have time to actually cover every single gift, as I mentioned before. But it's great to learn about them. J.I. Packer, who's another author and former pastor, he breaks things down a lot simpler. He has two categories of speech and of loving, practical kindness, helpfulness. Yes, helpfulness, that's what it says here too. And on a very practical level, those are the categories. You are talking or you are doing. But the third breakdown I found, it's the one I actually like the best. There are some circles within Christianity that talk a lot about the three offices that Jesus held, prophet, priest, and king. And those don't necessarily cover everything that Jesus ever did. And it's not always my favorite analogy, but I do like it when thinking about gifts. I got the idea. It's from an article from Tim Keller. He talks about it. It's helpful to see the gifts through this lens. The prophetic gifts, they're abilities that help others understand truth, like evangelism, teaching, speaking, discerning, prophecy. And the gifts are marked by boldness and clarity. The priestly gifts allow people to understand and supply basic needs. This is serving, healing, shepherding, mercy, encouragement. Encouragement can fit here, or it can fit with a prophetic gift depending on how you do encouraging. But the words that mark this one are sympathy and sacrifice. Kingly gifts understand direction and group needs. And these are the gifts like administration, leadership, apostle, wisdom, faith. And these gifts are marked by wisdom and practicality. And I know I didn't hit all the gifts, but I think most of them fit within these categories. And the reason I like it so much is that when you use your gift, you are reflecting Christ. Reflecting an attribute of the Lord. J.I. Packer says this, a spiritual gift is an ability in some way to express, celebrate, display, and so communicate Christ. We're told that gifts, rightly used, build up Christians and churches, but only knowledge of God and Christ builds up. So each charisma, which is one of the Greek words for gift, must be an ability from Christ to show and share Christ in an upbuilding way. Will you use your gifts to build this body up, or if you're going somewhere else, to build the body of Christ up? There are beautiful results when we do that. Ephesians 4:14-16. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I know I want that. I want that for our church, healthy, growing, full of love. If we were able to, if that was the market that we were going to corner, that's the market I want us to corner. If we were doing that well, I think we could kind of eliminate our advertising budget. But better than that, better than being healthy and growing and full of love, I think we'd bring God a ton of glory. The Holy Spirit has given you gifts to be used to build up his church that we might bring God glory. The Gospel of John says this in chapter 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Charles Spurgeon once gave a sermon on this passage, and he describes glorifying Christ as the chief office of the Holy Spirit. He says, he does many things, but this is what he aims at in all of them, to glorify Christ. And the Holy Spirit has given us gifts so that we can do the same thing. Going back to 1 Peter 4:10-11, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Do you see how the first part, the speaking gifts, how that ties back to John? The Spirit glorifies Christ by speaking that which he receives. And if you have a gift that involves speaking, do it with God's own words. Do it as though you're speaking the words of God, and use God's own words. Use the Bible when you're encouraging people. Use the Bible when you're teaching people. If you're talking to somebody, use God's word. In doing that, like the Spirit, you will give glory to God. If you don't have to speak a lot with your gifts or don't speak with your gifts, then serve with the strength that God supplies. And in doing that, you see, you'll also give God the glory. My tendency, I know, is to do a lot of the things that I've been gifted in my own strength, trying to seek my own glory. Seek God's glory. Use the strength that the Spirit supplies so that God will get the glory. I've listed a lot of amazing gifts and things that you get when you become a Christian. I saw a couple talks that were talked about the presence of God, not the presence, but the presence with a T, like a gift. And they're amazing. If you aren't a Christian yet, you can see those and think, yeah, I want that. And that's great. But I want to encourage you to, if you haven't placed your faith yet in Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that. But not for what you would get, not for the special abilities, but for who you would get. And who you'd get to spend eternity with. If you want to learn more about that, if you haven't done that, put it on your comment card. Come talk to me. Stop by the Info Center. Talk to one of the other pastors. Talk to anybody. Talk to somebody about it. We'd love to help you with that. If you've already done that, if you've already placed your faith in Christ, you have a gift. And I see that you have two options to do with it. You could show up here and be a consumer of New Life Church and miss out on being part of making this place be healthy and growing and love-filled, the church that God wants it to be. Or you can get in the game. You can seek to discover your gifts, seek to use your gifts, and glorify God with the gifts that he's given you. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much that you have given us each an ability to serve one another with, to glorify you with, God. I thank you that we have that opportunity, that you've given it to us so that we could give it back to you. Lord, I pray that each person here would seek to discover the gift you've given them, God. Each person would seek to use it to build up your church, and that each one here would glorify you through the gift that you've given them. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.